Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking podcast. We are your hosts this week, Brooke Monroe and Lindsay Schoolcraft.
And me, hi.
Me.
Hello.
Anyways, so we've got a couple fun, cool, interesting things to talk about today. And then we're going to also kick off the official Dear Fairy Godmother column. That's what I'm calling it. It's a column. Like we're like newspaper people.
Okay, that's fine. I can go back 30 years. It was good times.
Newspaper?
Yeah, just picking up a magazine in the doctor's office. It's like, new column in Reader's Digest.
In doctor's offices nowadays, there's like no magazines. Probably because like germs and COVID.
Well, that and everyone's on their phones. But yeah, probably due to COVID. Definitely.
Yeah, it's like, who's going to pick up a Better Homes and Gardens and like scroll through it? Like, I said browse.
Oh, my word. It.
Like, who would do that? I'm surprised they don't just have, like, tablets or something, like fixed to the table. So, like, people and kids and stuff can, like, they probably do have that, actually. When I worked in a dentist's office, we had those. Little kids used to try to yank them off the table. It was, like,
oh, Lord.
It was a big kerfuffle.
Well, you'll find that at airports when you go on your little adventure.
What? Like,
there's, like, iPads at... Yeah, like restaurants in the airports and stuff, and you can like scroll them and look at news and like, yeah, it's a thing now.
Wow. Technology, yeah. Man. I'm worried for the day when like a kid can show me something that I don't know like how it works. Like that's how I'm gonna know shit's going
on. That's how I feel about you talking about TikTok.
Well, you know what? That's why you're here with me.
Yeah. Trauma bonded.
You won't have to do anything. You got me.
You're the best. You're a lifesaver. Everyone, Brooke's the best.
Really? You know, I want to thank the Academy.
Working on that speech.
No, hold on. Okay, so background, obviously, if you have been paying any attention about Lindsay's background, she's a beautiful singer, and obviously I've listened to your music before. Like I listened to it before when, you know, before you were ever on the show, like I was like, oh, I need to go listen to her music first. I need to find out who this is. And obviously on the show. And then whenever you would like release something, of course I'm going to go listen to it and like shout you out. But I had never gone down the Lindsay Schoolcraft internet hole. And I did that last night at 12 or 1 a.m. And then I sent her a voice message where I said that I was going down the Lindsay Schoolcraft hole.
I have a stalker now.
You literally do, because I was all the way back into like early 2011. Like I was
watching. No.
Also, you don't fucking age, bitch. Like
thanks.
You don't. You
witchcraft.
Don't. I'm telling you, like you literally are like frozen in time.
I'm a vampire. Well, Romanian, B, didn't have kids. Straight up, kids would have drained the life out of me.
That's true.
So thank you. That means a lot. Also, just stay out of the sun, straight up.
Yeah, stay out of the sun and wear SPF. Jesus Christ, please. But like, oh, even in the comments, faster. People were saying like, oh my God, she looks the same as she did 8 years ago. How does she do it?
I haven't read YouTube comments in so long. Like,
they were great. I loved them. There really
happy.
Like weren't any negative ones about you. So if there were some, someone already like took them off. But like, I really just went down the hole. I watched all your music videos, everything.
Oh my God, you are so funny. Do you want to tell everyone why you stalked me? Like, you know, what's going on with you career-wise? You've been hustling.
Oh, okay. So career-wise, people, if you don't know, I am a business owner. I'm a business owner, and I have what you will call clientele. Yeah, so Lindsay is now one of my clients, or is going to be.
It's
And
coming.
I just, every time that, I work in like a new industry or something, it's just really important to me to get super familiar with like what people in that audience and that like target demographic are into. What do these people care about? So naturally now my TikTok is full of people like screaming Nicki Minaj and all of this like really just out of the box shit, all because I went down the Lindsay Schoolcraft metal hole.
Why Nicki Minaj?
Dude, that's
Probably
what I'm
just
saying. The
music
girl,
related.
she literally was, I mean, I sent you the video, but she was like, I'm so on the dicky.
Oh, Lauren Bobick. Yeah, she's like a big like metal star in the TikTok space. And yeah, it's wild what this got. Like, I appreciate you because you're gonna be my social media manager and you're gonna take over my TikTok for me because I need to make my new album and I cannot stress about social media, but it's a wild, wild place. Oh my God, you can just have it. That's you.
It's the wild, wild internet. The wild, wild web. WWW, wild,
Oh,
wild
there we
web.
go. Wild, wild web. Like the Will Smith song, God tell me you're not too old for that, or we're not too young for
I am not
that.
too young for that. I
Oh, thank
know.
God.
I know the song and I know the movies and all that shit. Dude, somebody yesterday said to me, because they were like, you've seen Under the Tuscan Sun? You've seen that? I'm like, dude, I'm 28, not 18. Yes, I've seen Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yeah, of
My
course.
God.
I know. I know. I just get nervous sometimes. I'm like, how old am I?
Don't know. I'm just
Yeah.
telling you, there's like this, there's to me, I feel like the generation, I feel like, so from like 37 to like 44. I don't feel like those people have that big of a gap mentally from like people my age, like in their mid to late 20s. But those people look at like people my age and they're like, oh, you won't remember that. I'm like, bitch, the fuck
It's like, oh, I do. I remember it.
I don't. I be remembering. One thing about me is I'm gonna be remembering.
Right?
Shit.
No, yeah, like I can't relate to like anyone like 25, 24 and younger. I'm like,
No.
I don't understand you. Like, bless you and good luck, but like I just what? But
Yeah,
I
I think the Gen Z and like the latter end of the millennials, like the tail end of the millennials, it's just like everything's different. Work ethic is different, the way they talk is different.
Yeah. I had a childhood with no cell phones. I'm sure you had the same.
Yeah.
It was so nice. I feel really blessed to have had that and just, you know, being out for hours in the wilderness because we had a division off the side of a forest and like come home when the street lights come on and you know, just so I miss that because now I look at kids and I'm like, oh, you poor little creature. But anyways, yeah, there's not that much of a gap between us. It just sometimes I'm like, I don't know. I consume media at such a fast rate, and I remember everything from back in the day. I'm like, does Brooke even know what I'm talking about? Like, would you know if I started quoting The Simpsons? Like, I don't know.
Oh my God, I was never allowed to watch it, but I do remember specifically like hearing the theme song come on, The Simpsons. And my grandma would be like, get out, this show is bad, this is the devil. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, do you think SpongeBob is the devil?
Oh my God, SpongeBob is the best. Like Patrick. Oh my God. But yeah, The Simpsons was written by like the best of it was written by Conan O'Brien. I don't think he's the devil. I just think he's really funny. But I digress.
He's a
Where
bit
were
odd.
we? Oh, there's Miss Mia. How's she doing, by the way? Do you have a Mia update?
Minky's doing fine. She's done with all her medicines. She is finished with all like her round of probiotics. And currently she smells like maple syrup
Oh.
because she rolled in a little like takeaway container of leftover syrup-ish like stuff that fell out of the trash can. She rolled all over it. So she needs to get a bath tonight because her hair is just like clumped up in every direction. She looks like a mangy.
She looks fabulous from here. It looks like she uses L'Oreal and
Staring at me. What, dude? Stop.
she's like, how dare you record an episode and not give me attention? So rude.
Oh my God. I'll never forget when so our previous logo for the show, Liz like had drawn it, and I normally like when I see something she's done, I'm always gonna be like flipping out over it without like fully taking in all of the details. And I was so excited about it. And I was like, oh my God, can we please post it? Can we please post it? And she was like, Brooke, look at Mia in the a cartoon. Mia doesn't have legs yet. I was like, and sure enough, I looked in the freaking like thing, and Mia was drawn, and Liz was like, I'm struggling to draw her legs. Okay. Like, I need more time. And Mia was just this little like round loaf with a head, and I didn't notice because I was just so taken with the artwork as a whole.
She's just pure sausage.
She was pure sausage, no feet. Poor
Goodness,
girl.
you put out that logo, right? A while ago.
Yeah, we had that for a good 2 years.
Yeah, it was a good one. I liked it. I didn't know that Liz designed it. It's awesome.
Yeah, she did. The previous one, it was just me in it and my friend Emma, who has also been on the show. She designed it, but you know, over time we were just like, it's time for a more mature look, you know.
Ah, I mean, it looks great, but like also, you know, mature look. Where's the fun in that? Saying me who's about to rebrand, but no, the new stuff looks fantastic.
I love the editorial look, you know.
Yeah, it's super pretty. Did you say that something happened to you? Like you had a
Oh
story?
my God. Okay, yes, I've saved the story for the podcast. So today I go to the package room and I took Mia with me. She goes to the bathroom in the dog park, she pees, she poops. This is very integral to the story. This dog already took a shit outside. She took a shit. I watched her shit. She took one. I go in the package room. I walk into the package room and I just sense this aroma, this funk. I'm like, somebody has rotten food in here or something that they like didn't pick up, because goddamn, it freaking stinks like ass in here. I'm searching for my package because they can never put it in the right spot. It's never where it's supposed to be. I'm searching for my package and Mia keeps like tugging me towards something. And I turn around and I'm like, Mia, stop. And I take a step towards her and I instantly slip. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I look down. Someone let their dog take a dump in the package room and did not pick it up. And I stepped in it and slid in it like a
No.
roller skate.
Oh no, what happened to your shoe?
Oh my God, Lindsay, it's my favorite cloud slides. If you're listening
No.
and you know what cloud slides are, if you know, you know, they're the bomb, okay? They're like the new age Crocs, but more comfy and a hell of a lot more acceptable to wear in public. My poor cloud slides, covered in poop on the bottom, covered in shit. I literally started screaming because that's disgusting. I don't know your dog. I don't know where your dog's been. I don't know what your
What
dog
did eight?
is. Yeah. So I immediately ran out of the package room and I just started like aggressively like scraping my shoe on the side of the gate. I was like, Jesus, this is foul, evil, loathsome, disgusting. And then I got the poop off and I came inside and I bleached them. And I just want to know who did this. Because it wasn't my dog.
That's awful. That's just so unfair. It's the worst. Like literally, you could be having the best day in the world and you step in dog shit and it's immediately the worst day in the world. It is. But I have actually, to counteract this, I have a story about how I was moving out of this same apartment when me and my boyfriend broke up. And I was moving my stuff out and he wasn't even helping. Like we were done. This is an ex of like over 10 years ago. And I go outside and I load in the last few things, and I had to go in and get a few more items, and I stepped in dog shit. I was like, this could not be worse of a day. But then I'm like, oh no. I'm gonna continue to trek through the house with this dog shit on my fucking shoe. And yeah, he had some words to say as he had scraped bits of dog shit out of the carpet after I left. So
That
sometimes you can
is
make that work into your advantage.
yuck. Oh my, I don't think there's anything grosser than baby or dog poop. I just, we got to change the subject. If we go on any longer, I'm gonna have no choice but to name this episode dog shit, and it's literally gonna live on the feed forever.
This is dog shit.
This dog shit.
Okay, so I had a thing happen today, and it was the most awkward thing I've had happen in most of my career. I got asked to be a judge for the Wacken Metal Battles. So it's this really interesting competition where they find like metal bands all over the world, and they do a competition, and then they fly the final contestant from each company, country. What's the difference? Each country to Germany to like battle in this Wacken Metal Battle to like get a record deal and get money. It's insane, right? They do it like internationally. My boyfriend's band actually won it 1 year, so you know it's a really cool thing. And God, they've been doing it forever. I don't even know how long it's been going on for, but they asked me to judge the one here in my home city. And I was like, yeah, I'm free that night. Like, I'll do it. I'd love to do it. I want to be, you know, give back to the community. I go and I look at the flyer, and my ex-boyfriend's band is part of it. And they just re oh yeah, they just rebranded. So like people don't realize they were like a band for 10 years before, and now they're a new name. And I had to call my friend who runs this, and I said, hi, so I can't judge this because they rebranded and I did a song with them when they were the old band. So if they win this, it's bias. And if they lose this, it's like you hate your ex. And that's why we didn't get picked. So it's such a conflict of interest. I can't do this. I'm so sorry. And he was like, no, it's fine. We'll get you into like the Toronto finals if they don't make it. I'm just like, there's like, what the hell? But this is the first time in my life that this has like happened with an ex. It's just like, sorry, I can't do this because either way, it's gonna go like really bad for me and them.
Yeah, I was gonna say if they don't win, it's bias. If they do win, it's bias. You can't participate.
God, like, yeah, it was not good. It was my least favorite phone call I've had in a while, but I mean, it gets me out of an awkward situation. But yeah, I don't know. I think I would have rather stepped in dog shit this morning, to be perfectly honest with you.
I mean, at least you can just like wipe it off and like be on your merry way.
Yeah, that's what I did with this. I wiped it off and I went off on with my life.
You just gotta wipe it off like dog shit and keep it pushing.
Yeah, that's your fairy godmother advice for this episode. I'm done. No.
That's exactly what it is. Y'all wanted the series, y'all got the series.
Oh my
Wipe
God.
your foot and keep it pushing.
Wipe your foot. Keep it pushing. There's a merch idea. Oh my word. So you were reading a book. You were reading like a super cool book. Do you want to tell everyone about it?
Oh, you know what? Where I've done forgot the title. I've
I do
forgotten
that all
the
the
title.
time. Do it all the time.
I need to, I'm looking through our text because I want to remember the specific title of it in case anybody, oh, here it is. Okay, so this is a book that I know I posted on the Witchful Thinking podcast on Instagram. I purchased it sometime in like last fall, but it is called In Defense of Witches, The Legacy of the Witch Hunts and Why Women Are Still on Trial. And it is by Mona. Her last name, I don't know how to say it. It's Cholet.
I'm not sure, but the book is translated by someone named Sophie Lewis. So I'm gonna guess the book itself obviously was not written in English because it's like translated, no shit, Brooke. But anyways, so this book is so freaking cool. Honestly, I have thought about reaching out to the author. We've had so many authors on this show, and I mean, all of them are just so freaking cool. And I, you know, it's so hard not to pick up a witchy book when you see it like in public. Like I'm gonna pick it up and I'm gonna look at the cover and I'm gonna sniff it. And then when I sniff it, I'm gonna make a connection to it. And then when I have the connection to it, I'm gonna have to buy it. So,
It happens.
Mona, I sniffed your book and
Better smelled fresh.
oh God, I sniffed that fresh ass book of yours and it came home with me. But so basically, the book is told like obviously many centuries after the witch hunts and like the Salem witch trials. And it talks about how like even though centuries and different like eras have passed, witches in general just still fascinate people like, you know, the same way that like fairy tales fascinate and like people, you know, the Dis sorry if you're one of these people, but like the Disney adults, okay? Like
I
they're
am one. Hello.
hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to meet you. What do you want to know about? We'll talk
I
about the Disney
love,
witches.
I fucking love. Okay. Actually, she is gonna be one of mine, but the witch in Sleeping Beauty is one of my favorites. And the sea witch.
Maleficent?
Say my bit.
She's my queen. I actually have like a remake of her horns that I used to wear on stage. Like, she is
Stop.
my absolute favorite since I was a little
Angelina
girl.
Jolie played her so.
Oh, she nailed it.
She
Nailed
nailed it.
it. Yeah, it was
Most
beautiful.
amazing. Honestly, Angelina Jolie could literally, I would step in her shit and thank her.
Yeah, me too. I might even eat it. Because we know her diet is pristine. I'm okay.
I know you be eating some organic shit up in Hollywood, all right?
Like, her shit is healthier to eat than what I'm eating right now, okay? This episode is officially called Eat Shit.
Eat shit and die.
Or Die Trying.
Eat shit or die.
Bunch of cheese now. Oh no, help me. Oh, I'm
Oh,
in pain.
shit. This
You're
is
activating
why
my abs.
people say like, oh, why don't you like talk about your podcast at work? And I'm like, because I talk about shit like this. You think I want people at work coming and listening to this? No. The
Like,
fuck?
they'll know I'm absolutely unhinged.
Oh yeah, you go check out the new episode. It's called Eat Shit and Die. Yeah. It's so metal. Anyway.
Sorry, you brought this one in here. It's gonna happen.
My God, I have dandruff. Get that out. Okay.
Oh, actually, I did see that one. Dear
Yeah,
Lord. It was like the northern star in the sky there. That one was bright. Usually you can't see it with a filter, but damn, girl.
that one was literally right there. That looked like
Yeah.
straight up snow. I'm disgusted. Anywho,
Help. What were we talking about?
I don't fucking remember. We were talking about
Disney witches.
Disney witches, right? Okay, so anyways, let's collect ourselves, ladies and gents. There are no gents here. Although I will say the percentage of male listeners went up by like 1% after you posted.
Them's my boys. They're hanging out.
We are 97% women and non-binary members here, and then there's 1% that identify as males. I'm not fucking kidding. At least on Spotify, and I'm probably on Apple Podcasts too. I don't know what the analytics look like, but there's no men here. They don't care.
That's
And
okay.
that's okay.
That's okay. We're here for the what the girls, gays, and theys. Is that what we
Exactly.
said?
We are here for the girls, gays, and theys.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone else. But the book has like several, they're not like essays, but they just go into like she kind of goes into like three archetypes of like women where basically there's like women accused of witchcraft and women who were, you know, widows and women who chose not to have sex and like all this stuff. All of these women were like accused of being witches. And I don't think that it's something that a lot of people think of. People are like, oh, like it used to be they just saw you point your finger at someone and you are a witch. Like they would literally say you were a witch for any reason. You fart in church, you're a witch. Like,
yeah.
Fall down a flight of stairs and don't die, you're a witch. Like, yeah. All types of shit. But the whole book is just about how women across centuries have been oppressed, and it links witchcraft into it in a really cool way. But the beginning of the book talks about what is the first instance in your life where you were attracted to either like a literary or like a, what would it be called in like the movies? Literary or
fiction? No.
Fictional works.
Sure.
Yeah, like literary or fictional or some witch in a movie. And it could be like any movie, like, or like any Disney movie, any whatever movie. So I'm sitting here and I'm just like, oh shit, The Craft, fucking
yes.
The Teenage Witch, like Bewitched. Oh, I used to love Bewitched, the one that like wiggles
that nose. Yeah. Did you watch Charmed too?
I loved Charmed. I loved Charmed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else I'm trying to
practical magic.
Yeah, oh, Practical Magic.
I love that movie so much.
God. When they literally take him and like bury him and he comes back and he's all brown and shit and like green.
Yeah. No, but I love how the guy, she like thought she'd like had a ridiculous like request for the universe for a man, and then she like all of it came true.
Yes, she's like
one
brown eye, one green.
And he likes the stars and he rides his horse backwards. And like, I was just like, oh my God, you got to be careful what you wish for. It comes true.
Yes. Like she manifested the shit out of that man. And oh God, that book is just, that book and the movie is just next level. It's definitely, those are definitely like the types of movies that I remember like watching as a kid and being like super attracted to, and just thinking like, oh, it would be so cool to be able to just like snap your fingers and like move shit. And like, I know Matilda wasn't like a witch movie, but like Matilda was also one that I was like,
yes.
Oh, she has powers, like,
right?
Yes,
it was so cute. Have you watched The Craft recently? Like, when is the last time you watched the original Craft?
Oh, at least 5 years ago to watch the full thing, but like honestly, snippets from The Craft pop up on my TikTok For You page pretty consistently when I'm like in like the witch talk hole.
Yeah,
because like, I mean, everyone loves that like that dark aesthetic, and like that specific actress that plays the main character is just so badass. Like she's so mean.
Well, that's the thing. I rewatched it over Samhain this year and I came out of it like upset. It actually like traumatized me because it was like, oh, this was such a cool, hi Jackson. I was like just floating in the background there. I was like, you know, this is back when I watched it in high school, I was like, oh, this is just such a cool thing, you know. But then watching it again and going through my experiences in life, the main character is such a freaking narcissist, and she's like evil. Like she takes her power and she uses it for evil, and it like re-triggered all the shit I've been through in like my career. And I was just like, I don't like this movie anymore. I don't think I could rewatch it again. And then I watched The New Craft and I absolutely adored it. I just thought it was so good.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so wild how like an actress or actor can be so good at playing their role that it really, Mia, excuse me, ma'am. He's barking at the dark. That's creepy. They can be so good at their role that you literally are left feeling like they have personally victimized you.
Like, I don't remember it this way. It's, yeah. When you rewatch stuff from high school that you haven't seen in like 20 years, you're like, wow, my teenage brain was so dumb. Like, it was totally not like this at all. But it yeah, I mean, I think that's good acting and good writing. If it made, like, it's art, it made me feel something. And that's the most important part, even though it was icky and uncomfortable. And
I never watched the new one. I actually didn't even know there was a new one.
Oh, it's great. I thought it was fantastic.
Like, I just looked it up and I don't recognize any of the actresses. And I have never in my life, like, I didn't see any previews for this. I mean, well, I don't watch cable, so, but I haven't seen like any type of like memes or like teasers or anything like online. So that's like really wild. I'm kind of ashamed of myself. Oh, you know why? I never knew anything about this. It came out in fucking 2020.
Yeah, it just got completely buried. Yeah.
There was no time.
No.
Okay.
No, it just went under the radar, but it's on Netflix. But yeah, I remember like my going back, like I always like Maleficent and the, you know, the queen from Snow White. She was definitely a witch. She was like casting spells and shit, you know, like the looking mirror and everything. And I really like realized when I was 15, I was like, this Catholicism is a pile of dog shit. And I was like, I don't, like, it was just too contradictive and too misogynistic for me, especially growing up in the Catholic school system. I know you've talked a lot about that on this podcast. But then I saw The Craft and I really got into this band called Kitty. They're still going. They're like, they're heavy metal band that was all girls. They're angry. And they were like literally my age when they blew up. They were like 15, 17, like babies. And they look like a coven and they were going on about like screw men in their music, which was great. And then I was like, I'm totally like into this shit. My mom was actually kind of cool about it. And I got that book called like Teen Witch and read it. And then I lost it. I had like one of the original prints. It's like a very popular book. But being as autistic as I am, I need to know why everything is the way it is. Like, just don't tell me to do a spell without giving me the whole freaking history of why the spell is the spell. Like, you know, there's just so much that isn't communicated. But yeah, it's like, I think it's just like coming into your own as a woman and just being like, you know what, I want to take my power back.
Yeah. That's ultimately what it comes down to, is you see these like women in positions of either, you know, they're not in power, they're being oppressed and they take their power back, or they're just like so extremely powerful, they either gather fear or they gather like admiration from people. Like, I'm thinking about like Minerva McGonagall, Harry Potter, and Hermione yes. Granger. Like, those are, that's the type of like the archetype where I'm like, you're so powerful, I admire you and I fear you, but like in the best way possible, because like I know you would use your like powers for good. Like, mm-hmm. I respect you so much. I'm just like, you know, this is like, okay, this is, sounds a little bit crazy, but I'm going to say it because it's 7/16 and I'm going to take that. That's my birthday. I'm going to take that as a sign that I should just say this, but I kind of look at it as like, you know, religious people say like, we're supposed to fear God because he's so powerful. I'm just like, you know, that's like how I feel about like powerful, like feminine entities, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, so like I guess I can kind of understand that from like from a religious person's perspective, I guess. But like then there's, you know, witches that I'm just like, no, like you scare the shit out of me, something ain't right. Like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh yeah.
Or like the fucking Sanderson sisters, like,
oh, shit, right?
Hocus Pocus,
forgot about those babes. Oh my gosh.
Or the
movie.
White Witch. The White Witch from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. Tilda Swinton played her, right? Tilda just always kills every role that she's in. She's incredible. I think she's my favorite actress. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it's... Well, she's more of a queen, too, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, like, I think that's... That's the thing. Like, I was talking to a friend today about being neurodivergent, and they're like, I'm always masking and it's exhausting and everyone thinks I'm mean and scary and unapproachable. I'm like, yeah, but that's like your superpower. Like, people are scared of you. Like, Use that to your advantage, as it's going to filter out the confident ones from the not so confident ones. Isn't that what you want around you?
Yeah.
But I digress. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It is a fascinating concept, but I think it's just like, isn't there something like what we fear the most is what we are, something about like, I'm looking for the quote and I can't find it. I did not come prepared. But like, our biggest fears are kind of like what we need to overcome. And like, what we fear the most is actually what is like the most powerful to us. And I think like women in positions of power and women being powerful is kind of what we need as a society, as a whole, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. Life happens outside of your comfort zone. And I'm just thinking, you know, all these men in positions of power and the patriarchy just need to step down and let the women take the lead.
You know, just retire already.
Old, crusty, and dusty. Okay, it's time to let the young women and the women who have the big ideas and the big ideas and the heart and the passion and the understanding of what it takes to be a human being and see other people as human beings to actually run a country. I don't know. That's just my take on it. But honestly, everybody in politics is crooked, like, period. I would have voted Bernie Sanders if I could. And even him, I'm sure that like he's got his own shit. There's actually a Bernie Sanders mural like near my apartment.
Wait, did he die?
No, he's
alive. Mural. Okay, never mind.
Memorial?
I was like, what happened to that precious little man?
Not Bernie. You know that picture of him sitting in the cold?
Yes, the chair. Yeah,
just looks like he doesn't want to be there.
No, probably not. He could have been president. Bless him. I'd be miserable too with my big mitts.
Yeah. Like, because I hit the boat.
I know. But yeah, no, I think like there was a quote that my dad used to say, and it really used to piss me off. My dad came from the corporate world, and he's like, I think my dad told me this first, but it's like, women can't run countries because they'd all be mad at each other and not talking to one another.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, that's probably because you just don't know how to treat women, and that is the treatment that they give you. But actually, like we look at the woman who was the head of New Zealand, and she did a fabulous job. Like, she walked away because she just got fed up. She literally said, like, men don't listen to me and I'm tired. It's like,
yeah,
one of the reasons why she walked away. It was something to that extent. But yeah, I think women make great leaders. I think there's a lot of compassion and vision there, you know. And I think if we just take the masculine and the feminine and balance it out, we could just make this world a better place.
Yeah, there has to be an even mix of everything. And I do want to like reiterate, because I know like on this podcast, Liz especially, but like both of us can be very like down with the patriarchy, unhealthy men, blah, 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 blah. But genuinely, like, I feel like you are at your most, like you're your most aligned and your most peaceful and in your like highest element when your feminine and your masculine are at work and they're in balance.
Totally.
So like there's a need for both of them. And I don't know. I just like don't want anybody to take that too literal and just be like, oh, they're man haters.
Listen, like, I told my friend last night who called me out of the blue, I said, if I would have known that 80% of the men in my industry were not going to grow up, I would have left a long time ago.
Yeah.
Mind you, I'm in music. No offense, like, to anyone listening. You're like, wow, Lindsay, you're a jerk. But like, it's just, I think as we get older, we lose patience. And we're like, you know what? Like, you and I are very much into like self-development and bettering ourselves through our practice and through our experiences in life. And when you see other people like not working on themselves and not doing better, like, and this goes for all genders, it's just frustrating. But you know, I my biggest issue is just when there's men in position of power who abuse their power, and along the way they hurt women because of it. I think that's just mainly my biggest pet peeve. I think that's every woman's biggest pet peeve.
Yeah, because I mean, why? There's so many things that like don't need a man's input, like, you know.
No. No, especially our health. I know you've talked about that on previous episodes. Like, you don't even have to deal with our reproductive organs, and you're making decisions for us and commenting on this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Leave the narrative. Like, you're not welcome. You're
Yeah.
stupid as shit. I just
You're not a doctor.
Speaking of which, I saw this on TikTok. You know what's great is I can literally come to you and be like, I saw this on TikTok and you haven't seen it. So you
Yeah.
get the information from me because you haven't seen it. So you don't get to be like, oh, I've already seen it. Like you
No.
can like hear me.
A whole new world.
It really is. Because everybody else is like, oh yeah, I saw that too. And I'm like, well, fuck. Okay, whatever. Then you already know it.
Fine.
But so this is currently like trending on TikTok right now. And apparently it came out like this week or something that only this year did like pad companies start testing period and menstrual products on real blood. They have been using like, I don't know, maybe water, fucking
I'm
Capri
shook.
Suns. I don't know, maybe orange juice. I don't know what they've been using, but they have only just now started testing pads and tampons and like cups and stuff with actual real blood. Like this is gross, but like no, you know what?
No,
It's not
but
even
like
gross. It's
it
like,
needs to be talked about.
I mean, and okay, so for the non-period havers here, you won't know this, but period blood is like very, very different from if you just like cut your arm or something.
It's a whole special batch of blood.
Yeah, like it's nearly, sometimes it's nearly black, like depending on if you have PCOS or like endometriosis, in my case, like your periods can be so aggressively globby and like that it doesn't even resemble blood. Like sometimes it looks like fucking jello for some people who,
Jelly. Yeah.
yeah. And like that's like, how are you not testing period products on actual like specimens?
It's not that hard, but maybe it's just it was all made by men, designed by men, tested by men, and they're like, does
They're
anyone
like,
want
where are we gonna get period blood?
to? Oh, I don't know. Women don't poop. Like they don't have any holes down there. So
Women don't poop. Girls don't poop. Eat shit and die. Episode 134.
yo. Those commercials back in the day where they like pour like blue liquid, I thought getting my period meant I was just gonna start dispersing this alien blue liquid all of a sudden for no
Yeah.
reason. Didn't know it was blood. I was a very traumatized 12-year-old. Oh my word.
Yeah.
My
Yeah. I
life is a
mean,
lie.
you thought like blue detergent was gonna come out of you. And then like imagine your absolute disgust when not blue detergent, not even red jello, but like deep dark pits of hell raspberry globs just show up.
Yeah.
You
Terrifying.
know. You need to be testing that on pads and stuff because honest to God,
My
that
word.
doesn't get absorbed by a pad. That's gonna like plop off in your underwear and slide down your leg. And I say that from experience. That happened to me in sixth grade, and it
My
was
God.
fucking humiliating.
Baby girl, I'm so sorry. Oh my God, that's heartbreaking.
Girl, I just stepped on it. I stepped on it and I waited until class was over, and my friend like gave me a napkin. This is the first time I've ever spoke about this ever, and now I'm just telling the whole world. My friend like slid me a napkin. She was like, "What was that?" And I was like, "Bitch." And it was like only my second period I'd ever had.
Honey.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh no. I just
I
hope you
don't.
weren't bullied for it.
Oh, nobody saw. Like
Oh,
literally,
thank God.
yeah, nobody ever saw. Had they though? Oh my God, I would have been abused.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
It was bad. I was out of school for a month after that because my period lasted so long. I became anemic. I had like a severe iron deficiency. My skin was like gray. Like I
Holy shit.
couldn't stand up without losing, like, I'm not even kidding you, like what literally seemed like half a quart of blood. Like I was so pale and it just
That's
would
so
not stop.
bad. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Too
like,
young. Too young to be going through that too. Oh my God, I'm
yeah,
so
like
sorry.
it was, I was, I think I was 14. So I was kind of like a late bloomer, but like,
My God, like you're really, there's people, there's women out here with period clots falling out of their pants, and you're testing pads out on
On blue
blue
liquid?
detergent.
The
Get
world is
a life.
just what is why? Why are humans? Oh, my mind is blown. I'm gonna overthink about this until I fall asleep tonight. This is just too much.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. And then there was another one that I saw today that really shook me. And I cannot remember what it was. It definitely had to do with women, though. Shoot. Yeah, I can't remember. If I remember, maybe I'll make a story about it or something. But like, just the shit that you find out that like society is just now coming to like be like, you know what? Maybe we should switch things up a bit.
Maybe you should do things right from the start.
Yeah, like maybe you should, I don't know. I'm sure there'd be tons of people who would have been willing to menstruate for like a paid fee or something. You could collect their whatever and like use it for this scientific test.
God forbid you employ women and give them a job so your product works properly. God forbid.
We're literally just out here. We're like, geez. You, the least you could do is pay us for our period blood.
I have to pay for tampons. You could pay me to bleed.
Get the fuck out.
Down with the pink tax.
No, for real. Yeah, pink tax pisses me off. Luckily, though, I really haven't purchased any like period supplies in years because now my period's so light. My birth control that I literally just use like the Finks underwear, which like if anybody has not tried those, they're so worth paying $25 a pop for because they last forever. You're not gonna walk around feeling like you got a diaper on. You're not gonna walk around feeling damp. And you know what? Nothing's gonna fall out of your MF pants. The end.
No blood clots on the floor to squoosh and then get with a napkin.
Yeah, you would have thought that I was eating a strawberry peanut butter sandwich that day.
I don't even know what to tell you. I'm traumatized for you.
Yeah, it was really sad. I cannot believe I just said that. Now it's gonna be like on the internet forever.
So that's my magic. I jokingly say I have a face where people tell me their whole life story, the whole TMI thing. It's just me, girl. It's just my magic. It's okay. Someone out there's like, thank God Brooke told that story. I don't feel alone in my jelly magic.
I'm
So.
so sure jelly magic, that's fucking funny. I'm so sure somebody out there has had like, God, you remember that one girl on the internet that like ate her tampon on like YouTube?
I miss this part of the internet. Thanks, Brooke. Now I'm more traumatized.
Girl, I don't know if it was like fake. If it came out that it was fake, somebody please like DM me and tell me because I've lived most of my adult life thinking this was real. But I am like 90% sure that it was real. And she got like, I mean, she did that and then posted it. And people like came for her and they're like, why would you do this? Why would you post it? I'm just like, I don't want to tell other people what to do with their bodies. But also, like, I don't know if I would be like, well, I don't think I'd post that.
I don't think tampons are edible,
Yeah,
period. Pun intended.
she was sucking on it.
No. I mean, well, let's cap off this discussion with one thing because I come from heavy metal and I have a friend who collected her period in a jar and gave it to one of the black metal bands to use on stage.
To
That was
use?
on to dump on himself on stage while he was
Oh, I know that
performing.
stonk.
Yeah, he thought it was just amazing. He probably felt really empowered by that feminine blood, I tell you. But that's black metal, baby. But this is a true story. You heard it first on the Witchful Thinking podcast. Heavy metal meets feminism.
Oh my God.
I just remember that because I'm like, oh, we're talking about periods so much. And I'm like, I have a friend who did this. And he was so happy to receive the blood in a jar. And my friend was so proud of herself. She wasn't even a fan. She's in the industry. I'm just going to not name names, but it was
How
great. It was.
did she sit on the jar and just like let it?
I think it was Dixie Cup, or the not Dixie Cup. The what are they called? Shit, the cup, like the thingy that.
Oh, the collecty, the little diva cup thing.
That's it, not a Dixie cup. Oh my God, can you imagine putting a Dixie cup up there? That's just like a hospital visit waiting to happen. Yeah, no, the Diva cup. There we go. Hello, thank you.
D-I-C-K-S-I-E cup, the Dixie cup.
Not that one.
The Dixie cup.
Oh God, I need an adult. Did we want to do fairy godmother time? Did we want to give some life? I don't know if anyone's going to want our life advice after all that. Dear Lord. All right. I saw one from, I think I'm pronouncing her name properly, Yannicka, but it could be saying that wrong, so I'm so sorry. And this is what she wrote. Dear Fairy Godmother, I have thought long and hard for a good question, as I do not want to waste any precious time. Amen, sister. Straight up, how do you as an artist best deal with narcissists within the music industry? I just want to cry. I'm talking about bookers, venues, festival organizers, but also journalists, photographers, etc. Reason I ask is that I find it very difficult to maintain my own emotions when dealing with said people. I'm often the one dealing with it, being the vocalist and therefore the face of the band, true. But I fear that I may harm the band's reputation when reacting emotionally. Simultaneously, I do not want to react because I also feel that these people shouldn't treat others like shit. So enlighten me with your wisdom, please. She gave a little heavy metal hand. And Yannicka. So, oh my word, I have so much to say about narcissists. First of all, it's a personality disorder. And I think people forget that. And any toxic behavior they see these days, they're like, narcissist. And it's like, well, no. Like, my therapist has helped me, actually, a doctor helped me point out narcissists that I've had to deal with in the past. And there's a multitude of layers of types of narcissists, right? Like there's the public figure ones who like are all like, I'm God in public and then treat their family like shit behind the scenes. And then there's like the narcissists who like have to have this whole idea of their life being perfect. And then there's like the ones who lie and manipulate and abuse and like, oh, there's levels. But you know, you don't really know unless your therapist is helping you navigate this. I've personally worked for people who my therapists are like, straight up, this person has narcissistic personality disorder based on all the behavior that you've given me. Like there is data to prove this. And, you know, I think this can be applied to anyone working anywhere, realizing like, oh man, I'm dealing with a narcissist. I'm in a toxic work environment. And like, I don't know what to do. So I'll tell you straight up. The first thing is, this is going to be so hard to do, but you don't react. You don't give them a reaction. You take your time. You say, I'll get back to you if you can, because some of them can be really abusive and be like, you have to give me an answer now or blah, 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 blah. You take your time. You go get out your emotions somewhere else. Call your therapist. Call your mom if your mom's down for that. Talk to your friends. Don't give them an emotional reaction. They love an emotional reaction out of you. They get off on it. It fuels their crazy ways. It really, really does. So that's my first bit of advice there. But I find if you are dealing with a narcissist, like you're in a pretty toxic work environment. And there's two things that are going to happen. You're either going to stay there and get the tools to navigate it and just live, coexist with them and draw the boundary around yourself and be strong about it, or you're just going to leave. Because if you don't have these tools, over time, these types of people will just wear you down and destroy your mental health with their little tactics and their little ways. And I have more to say about the music industry, but Brooke, I wanted to turn it over to you. Have you ever dealt with anything like this before?
So I wouldn't go so far as to say that I've ever worked with somebody that I could like clinically be like, yeah, you would probably be diagnosed with NPD if you actually went and talked to somebody. But I've definitely worked with people who like, they only will go with something if you make them think it's their idea. And like,
that's how the whole dynamic of the team kind of works. Like everybody knows without actually having to say out loud, like, okay, we want to do this, but we know there's going to be that one opposing force. So we've got to make so-and-so think this is his idea because yeah. Lord knows they're not getting fired. They're not getting laid off. We're just going to have to like, if we want something to happen, this is how we're gonna have to make it happen. And those are the hardest people to work with. Like, especially in like, you know, the creative world, like the agency world that like I live in, it's really, really frustrating. And, you know, a lot of times it's men, not to harp anymore on men, but a lot of the times
but
I have
please
noticed,
do.
A lot of the times I've noticed like creatively, I don't clash with women. I feel like creatively, it's the exact opposite. I gel really well. But then, you know, working with the opposite gender and like having to work with, you know, for instance, like designers or art directors. And like, I'm a writer and I'm a strategist and like all that shit. They are two roles that are supposed to go hand in hand. And sometimes I'm like over here scissoring my fingers. Hand in hand.
Let's are you get well?
No, I'm not. I've only eaten like 7 chicken dumplings today. I'm not well.
Oh, but, no, girl.
But like you're supposed to be able to work like so well together. But when you get those types of people that have narcissistic tendencies, it kind of just like leaves you feeling like it doesn't matter what I bring to the table, because honestly, what this person wants is going to trump everything. It's like the fucking tower card. Like they are the tower card. Trumps all. And like, yeah, it's just like, it's a bummer. For a really long time at my job, I really like, this was like, you know, early last year. And I spoke up about it, and like the issue pretty much went away. Like it was, I wouldn't say it was actively resolved, but it just stopped being a problem randomly. But for the longest time, I had this issue with this person where I was just like, every time I have like a cool idea or I want to see something like come to life in the studio, it gets like, I get like steamrolled. I get ignored. I get told like why that's not, like why that oh that's cool, but like we just can't make that happen. And then we go with something that's like totally off brand or like not strategic and like just doesn't
oh,
make
no.
sense. And it would make me feel like, you know, presenting to a client, I'd be like, damn, like this is like, I don't feel like this is a good example or like representation of like my work. And like,
right,
because these people weren't client facing, you know, they got to do whatever and say whatever and like get up on their high horse. And, you know, I was the one who had to present to the client. So like, they kind of just got to like hide behind me a little bit while I like took the brunt force of it. And yeah, so it's just like, I don't know, you're gonna run into people like that no matter what your job is or like what your hobbies are. But literally, like you said, like the best thing you can do is just not, just don't fucking play into it. Do your shit, do your shit well, and walk away. At the end of the day, if it's that bad to the point where like you're upset, you feel like you need a career change, you're burnt out, you're like questioning your whole life because this person just doesn't gel with you, or makes everything about them, or everything has to be their idea in order for it to be valid, then like fucking leave. If it's
straight
really
up
that bad, just like leave.
That's the thing, like the industry I'm in, and maybe this is for like a lot of creative and entertainment industries, is like we're in a time where we're seeing those awful people lose their power. And the other thing is that, especially being in a band or being a musical artist, we forget that we're at the top of the food chain. Like we hire the label, we hire the manager, we hire the booking agents. And it's like at any time, depending on the contract, like we can fire them. It's like you need to build a good team around you. And if you see someone being treated unfairly, just let them know that you support them. But I find it doesn't take very long for, you know, especially in the metal world, it's so tight knit. It doesn't take long for like these people to be found out to be awful. And then just like nobody wants to work with them anymore. And like the era of like the difficult artists who make money is really dying off. Like, you know, I've heard of meetings at record labels where they're ready to drop bands because they're like, we don't care that we're making okay money, you know, having them on our roster. They're just so damn difficult to work with. Why? They're draining our energy, and we'd rather be working with, you know, others who are easier to work with and build their careers. Like, we're really shifting, and the industry is evolving and changing, and I love it, and I'm seeing that. But, you know, it's just back to what Yanika was asking about, like, don't give them a reaction. Don't, you know, pop off on Twitter. I used to do that, like, or X, whatever the hell it's called now. Like, don't pop off online. Don't give them an emotional reaction. Just, like, ignore them when they're being angry. Come back to them when they sound a little calmer. Reply in a very, it's like, I think it's called stonewalling or gray, what's it called? Where you just kind of, like, you're not giving them what they're looking for. And it's, you know, I truly believe, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a psychologist, but I believe narcissists are made. I really think that it's like a nurture versus nature thing. It's definitely a nurture thing. And like, they just, you know, they thrive in chaos and seeing the power of their manipulation. But at the core of narcissism, it's truly self-hatred. Like, they cannot stand being in their head and in their body. And, they are just the ultimate, the pinnacle of difficult people. And I actually, you know, when I learned all this about them, I really started feeling bad for them. But at the same time, I was like, I will not let your shit affect my shit, because life is too short. It's like, if you can't respect me and treat me with basic human decency as I have with you, then you are not allowed to have permission to be in my life, in my career, in my friendships, in my even family. You know, there comes a point where you're like, you know, and there is a small percent of narcissists who admit they're narcissists, and there's recovered narcissists who go to therapy and admit that they're narcissistic and try to do something about it, because they realize, oh man, I'm making my life miserable, I'm making everyone else's life miserable. But there's such a small percentage, and ultimately these people, they can't hold healthy relationships. They have a continuous, like, revolving door of friends and relationships around them. It's really messed up. But, you know, Brooke, I think I was telling you about it, but I went through something similar recently where, you know, I was worried. I shifted around some team members, and someone was not happy about me letting them go. And they said some things that were defamatory. And for a while there, I was a little upset. I was like, oh man, like, you know, it was a complete lie. And at the end of the day, I'm good. But I was like, man, if they're going to go around and keep lying about me when I don't deserve this, like, oh, like, it could ruin opportunities for me. But I was just like, no, you know what? Like, they have no power. Like, everyone on my team has more experience and clout than them. I don't think they're going to be dumb enough to go and continue to do this. And that's ultimately how you have to approach these people. Like, they really have no power. Like, they have isolated themselves into a corner of their industry, and they're going to be like, oh, I can open up all these opportunities, and oh, like, you'll never do any better than me, you'll never work in this town again. None of that is true. It's all empty threats, like, you know. So I'm just looking back at her email here. It's really hard to see the injustice, but just be like that pinnacle of light in your community for people to go to and vent and support one another and talk about it. Be like, this person didn't treat me well, and this was their behavior, just to warn other people not to work with them. You know, because there's a difference between gossiping, like what happened to me, and lying and making problems. And then there's telling the truth and protecting other people in your position. And I think that's actually the best way we can move forward in identifying the narcissists in our communities and our workplace and dealing with it. But it's, listen, it takes research and practice to deal with anyone who has, what did you call it? NPD. Mm-hmm. My dyslexia wanted to move around all letters, but yeah, I've dealt with a lot in my life, and either they're recovered or I don't talk to them anymore. And, you're going to be okay. Like, this has been my theme for everyone I love and people I've talked to the last few months. I'm like, it always works out and you're going to be okay. It comes down to you and controlling your emotions and empowering yourself with knowledge and the tools to deal with difficult people. So that is my advice from this wise old sage.
It's
always, I feel like it's really difficult when you don't want to like talk shit, but like also someone asks your like honest opinion and you're like, you want my honest opinion or do you want my opinion that is as nice as I could possibly be? Because they're going to be two different things.
True. You could be spicy about it, especially if like you've been hurt. You know what I mean? Like if it like can I just be vulnerable here and just really tell you how this experience was for me and be like, you know, just so you know, like if I'm getting catty or whatever, like it's coming from a place of hurt, but then there is taking some time to process your experience and then just telling the honest to God truth, you know. And I think, you know, unfortunately, especially in my industry, people get these people on their team, bands, sorry, let me talk like an adult. Bands and artists get these people on their teams and they're so green and amateur, and I say that in the nicest way possible, that they don't know what it's like to have these good members on their team. And then they think that like, oh, it's just the way it is. Of course, neglect and abuse and is normal. This is just the music industry. Deal with it. But that's actually not true. There are healthy, positive leaders that you can hire to have on your team who will make your career. It's still going to be hard work. Anything you want in life worthwhile will be hard work. But like having difficult people around, like it just makes it even harder for you. So, you know, you don't have to put up with people who don't treat you fairly. And another thing I learned recently is when times get really hard in your career, or, you know, especially in your career, sitting back and taking it is like the worst thing you can do. Like you have to be proactive. Like, you know, and then with my Irish background, it's like you get one day to be sad about it, and then the next day you gotta move on and keep going. And I think being proactive in like finding that new team member or fixing the issue and being as integral and honest about it as possible is really important. And I completely derailed into another direction. What did you mention before? And we were talking about just oh, sorry, girl.
What did I do?
I don't know. You said something. It's something. It had to do with something with like. Now I'm lost. This is what
Girl, I
these
don't know. I don't think it was
columns
anything.
are going to be like.
I don't
I'm
think it was
lost.
anything. I don't think I was going anywhere with it. I think I was just making a statement. You're good.
Yeah, but yeah, I was just saying like I was on the train, just derailed and like flew off the bridge, and now it's in the river, and I'm like, what?
Well, you know, that's okay. That's why we don't take trains. We
And
take.
that's the, yeah. We also don't take shit. We talked about eating shit, but we don't take shit. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you have some choices, and it ultimately comes up to you. It comes down to you and what you do with your emotions and how you confront these people. It's a long story. I could get into so many situations I've been in, but I just don't feel like going into them. I don't want to get anyone's lawyer calling me because, like, for some reason, some narcissists have fame and money and lawyers, and they're like, you can't tell the truth about me. I'm going to send my lawyer on you. I'd be like, all right, knock yourself out. Like,
It's disparaging.
yeah. Oh, God, that's the other thing about them. God forbid you tell. I think that's what you were mentioning before, like gossiping versus telling the truth. God forbid you tell people about their truth. It's like, that's a huge thing with narcissists, is no accountability, whole entitlement and no accountability. Those have been the ones I've dealt with, and it's just like the gaslighting. Like you try to call them out on their shit and they lie and talk in circles about how they didn't do anything wrong. They ain't worth it. They ain't, just walk away. Just get that person off of your team. Get out of that contract as soon as you can. Like, life is too short for garbage people like that. I'm sorry. I know it's a personality disorder, but like, holy shit.
So is a lot of things, you know. There's a lot of shit. There are a lot of personality disorders that I would be like, your shit is unchecked. I know this is not your fault, but I don't need to deal with it. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I have literally experienced that with like past friends who were like diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but like wouldn't take their medication or
Right.
you know, never wanted to start, and it would just like unravel and they would hurt people. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not actively not being your friend because you have a disorder. I'm choosing not to be your friend because you know you have this and you're hurting people because you're not helping yourself. So it's like a fucking double whammy.
Yeah. It's true. Listen, I'm not bipolar, or I don't have borderline personality disorder, but I've had friends who've had both, and also who have taken care of it. And when they're having a bad episode, they've been really lovely about it. And when they're not taking care of it, I don't speak to those people anymore, because like, I don't know if it's a good comparison, please. I hope no one gets offended, but like, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I'm going to be 2 years sober on my birthday this year. It's been a long journey. I relapsed twice in the last 6 to 8 years, but I don't drink because I'm an asshole when I drink, and I have hurt a lot of people. I've made a lot of bad decisions when I'm on the you know what. And, you know, that's just, you got to take responsibility for the dark parts of yourself. And if alcohol makes you a bad person, do something about it. If not, going to therapy and taking your medicine makes you hurt yourself and hurt others, then like, you gotta do the thing. It's called adulting.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that, you know, personality disorders aside, like there's so much shit that, like anger issues and I'm trying to think what else. Anger issues and like people who are like chronically just irritable, or like just going through dealing with a lot of trauma, and they won't face it head on, and it affects how they treat other people. Like, it doesn't just have to be a personality disorder. It doesn't have to be an illness or a disease that, like, you know, has taken over your life. You could simply just have some traits that you are allowing to live front and center. And like, you don't even have to be diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder for your narcissistic traits to be ruining other people's fucking lives.
It's true. We all have a little bit of narcissism in us, little traits, you know, but is it getting out of hand and hurting other people? Like, that's, you know, that's it. Like, one time, I love my sister. She made me do a narcissistic personality test, like, over one Christmas. And she's like, see, you have some traits in there. And I'm like, yeah, but it was the trait that like gave me my fuel to build my career. And I'm like, this is a form of like healthy narcissism. Like, I'm not being mean or hurting anyone. I just have this like grandiose sense of self. And that's not a bad thing sometimes. Like, sometimes, you know, as long as there are like positive traits to narcissism, if that's how you want to live your life, as long as you're not hurting other people. But, you know, we all have a little bit of something, you know, but it's when it spills over and it's ruining entire industries and hurting people.
Yeah, like that in itself, I feel like that's also something that turns people away from so many industries. Like, I was talking with my old boss yesterday, and she was like, literally, I think this is like an issue that is just like, it's agencies. It is agencies in general. And if you work in marketing, you know. So
Wait,
many
if you know, you
egos,
know.
big egos.
Yeah.
Both industries. It's
yeah.
tough. It's like, there's no room for that. Like, there's
no.
too much opportunity for you to be a fucking asshole.
That's the thing. In any industry where there's no HR and there's no union, you better believe those types are running rampant, twisting and bending the rules to rob and screw people however they can. Like, they exist there for sure. But, you know, there's a lot of corruption everywhere, even in places that do have HR and unions. Like, it's just, you know, knowing your worth and getting your emotions under control and knowing that like you can get through this, and there's going to be other opportunities and places to go. Like, I do know, especially in my industry, people who are like, this was the dream, this was the perfect job, this is the opportunity I wanted, and like, those people ruin it for them. That's heartbreaking. Like, that's devastating. But I do believe everyone lands at the right place with the right people eventually, especially if you're working on yourself and you're manifesting it and you're doing your candle spells properly. Like, you know, I really believe that it does all work out as long as you're striving towards that.
It'll all work out. I forget. Yannicka? Is it Yannicka?
Yeah, Miss Yannicka. Yeah.
That's a pretty name. It'll all work out.
You'll be okay.
That mental
you'll get to
roll up.
You'll get to that place where you've got, you know, kick-ass tours and lots of fans. That's the thing. That just, again, a little second for the music industry. We're in such a place now where we can build our own fan bases online, and we have our fan bases, and we have our, I'm getting nerdy and going into my job, but we own our mailing lists, and we have people on our Patreons, and like, labels, agents, and managers can't take that away from us. Like, we are so empowered right now to own our fan bases. Like, and I say that in the nicest way possible, but like, have that direct connection to them that these other entities just can't take away from us. And we don't need them anymore to like put us, you know, opening for Metallica to build our careers. Like, we can just do it online, you know? So like, we're in a good place. We're in a very good place. That's the thing. They're rearing their ugly heads and getting their claws out because they know that we don't need them anymore. They need us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
people are self-made. People have, mm-hmm. like the second, remember when MySpace music was a thing?
Oh, I miss the charts. Oh, the charts were so great. I miss MySpace. I just want to like comb my hair to the side and like put a little beret in it and just like Brit, what are they called? And just get out my emo shirts.
Your raccoon tail.
My raccoon tails and my
tutus.
My awful. Oh yeah, I got a tutu. I still got all my stuff from like 20 years ago. It's like cool again. Freaking miss MySpace.
Please do a throwback. I'm going to make you do a video where
you
put on all of your old ass emo gear and then you do a cover of like
Flyleaf.
Yes, I was literally going to say Flyleaf. I was literally going to say Flyleaf.
Fully alive.
I fucking love. Oh my God. I remember when I like when I found out that I'm So Sick was actually like a Christian song. I was shook.
Oh yeah, she's like hardcore Christian. She wrote a book and it upset a lot of people, apparently. I need to separate the two because I love that first album so much. But it's very Christian. But well, you might be out of luck because I weigh 30 pounds more than I did when I bought all this emo clothes. So I don't know if any of it's gonna fit my round ass these days.
Suck it the fuck in and put
Some Spanx. All right. Yes, Brooke.
Listen, this is what happens when we're going to work together. I'm going to put on the itinerary. First of all, February content. Suck it the fuck in. Sit down.
Oh, shit. Oh, no. I get viral for reliving my emo days. This is just not. What does my life come to? I just, as an artist, I just want to be respected for the new art I'm making. But no, I blow up because of the old shit. Love my life. Cool.
You have to. That's what the internet wants, man. You got to play the game.
It's fine. It's okay. Whatever you say, Brooke. That's why you're here. That's why you're on the team now. See, everyone, you will find amazing team members just like Miss Brooke here. Passionate, smart. Want to blow you up and make you wear your clothes from 20 years ago on TikTok. Help.
At least I won't make you rap Nicki Minaj. If you want to do it,
that's where I draw the line. I don't rap. I don't dance. I don't rap because my dancing is atrocious. Pure white girl moves. I don't rap because my dyslexia takes over and then it just turns into a really bad like Flight of the Conchord skit. I'm trying to think of what else I don't do. We'll just figure this out as we go.
Do you scream?
I can't do gutturals. I don't like them. I don't like the scremmy screm. I just, I can kind of do it, but it sounds really, it's no good. No scremmy screm. Just singing and harp. That's it.
I'm all about the harp. I can't wait for the harp.
Oh, yes. We will do all the harp videos. Don't worry. It'll be very, very magical. That's why I picked it. It's such a magical instrument.
It's
and,
so fucking ethereal. Is there a harp emoji?
No, there's not. I've been not
No.
actually complaining to anywhere, but just complaining to the void about there not being a harp emoji yet.
You know what? If you listen this far to the episode, go to the newest post on our Instagram page and comment the blood drop emoji.
I'm shocked the poop emoji didn't make this episode, but I feel like you had an episode already with the poop emoji,
Oh
so.
yeah, we've definitely had the poop emoji.
But yeah, the blood drop for jelly magic.
Should I name the episode Jelly Magic? I think I should.
Yes. Yes, you should.
I could. I've been sitting here trying to come up with a title, and I'm like,
The
fuck.
whole time? Oh my God.
Dude,
Your poor brain.
there's always wheels turning. I'm always going, man. I can't stop. And I'm just like, earliest witchhood memories. Early, and trying to do like a playoff of like witch and WHICH. And I'm like, no. Jelly magic it is, bitches.
Get your jelly magic on.
Jelly magic on. Hey, that's
Is
why I feel
there?
the most powerful.
Me too. Especially if you treat your hormones right. But like, I have a serious question. I'm gonna put there out there to the whole coven. Is there spells that require the jelly to? Okay, I don't even know about any of them. All my books are too fluffy. But I mean, listen. If it's consensual sacrifice of blood, then like I'm down for that, but like no killing baby goats or anything over here. That's not how we do. Is it the resident vegan? That's a big no-no. But yeah, that you're gonna have to send me some. I'm seriously curious about this now. I won't be trying any, not anytime soon. I don't have time to let it all go into a jar. Are you kidding me?
Careful, you
But
don't want to accidentally get pregnant. I feel like that's what a lot of them are good for, is like reproductive, you know.
I can't do it. We ain't getting pregnant over here. I can't.
I'm gonna take
That
some of
shit's
my
too
jelly and
expensive.
just go like fucking Lion King, Simba.
Remember who you are.
Remember when he bonks him on the head and he's like, what was that for? It doesn't matter, it's in the past.
I love that movie. That's my favorite movie.
Came out the year I was born.
Oh, sweet child. Oh, sweet child. I have something to show you when we're done recording. You're gonna laugh, but it's probably as old as you.
Anyways,
Anyways.
I have stuff to go see, people, so go follow us, go do all the things, and we'll be back most likely next week with an episode. So go shake your jelly rolls.
Bye, y'all. Don't eat shit.